CliffCentral.com.
All right, everybody. You made it to Thursday. Congratulations. It's a super achievement. These days, don't know what day it is. A friend of mine called me yesterday. He's like, what is it today? Is it Wednesday? Is it Thursday? What's the story? I'm like, come on, man. Come on. I sounded like Joe Biden. Come on, man. You know, he was good. Come on, man. Jesus, I've got to play something for you just now. Okay. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It's like, you know, there's that comedian, Kyle Dunnigan.
Yeah.
And he does the Kardashians so well.
Donald Trump. You got to see his Trump.
His Trump is good, but his Kardashians, and he does Caitlyn Jenner, and then he now does Joe Biden, and I think his Joe Biden's even better than his Donald Trump.
He's the best. Dunnigan is the best.
I don't know anyone who can do a Joe Biden impersonation, because, you know, you kind of have to be a little screwed up in the head to do Joe Biden properly.
I was a little disappointed with Jim Carrey's impersonation of Joe Biden a few weeks ago on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
just
too.
Didn't hit the mark.
Right.
It was a little, meh.
Just for anybody who wants to look up the best Dunnigan he's ever done was Kardashians, and It's So Mad at You. It's one of the earlier ones, and they all talk about being mad at Rob. It's the best one of all of them.
Let me just quickly see if I can get this one up, because this is hilarious.
So mad at you.
So yeah, I'm so mad at you. I'm so mad at you. It's so good.
So while
you're looking for that.
What's that?
While you're looking for that,
yeah.
Talking of Jim Carrey, we watched Sonic, the Sonic film,
a
couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim Carrey is.
Is he good in that?
Oh, he's magnificent. Like, we haven't seen Jim Carrey in a very, very long time on the screen. And when he comes on that thing, that Sonic was surprisingly fun.
Fantastic. Listen to this quickly.
After he had a while of going,
anti-vaccine.
Yeah. It's madness, right? I was going to find you this. This clip, this is so good. So, okay, I'm gonna play you this one, because this is Biden and Elizabeth Warren, which is pretty funny. It's Kyle Dunnigan doing his
thing. Joe Biden, you are one rude dude.
I just kissed her in the back of the head. Don't get your panties in a bunch, Pocahontas.
How dare you make fun of my Indian heritage?
Yeah, I'm gonna poke you in the haunted tits, baby.
My tits are not haunted. Ooh, that really fries my onions.
Yeah, I'm gonna make you squirt, baby. Biden style, baby.
You will not make me squirt.
Yeah, I got a peace pipe you can smoke when we're done.
Ooh, that really burns my baked potato.
Yeah, I don't have a totem pole, but I got a scrotum and a pole you can sit on, baby.
Oh, that really over-sautés my chicken cordon bleu.
Yeah, I'm going to bang it till it rains, baby.
Oh, I'm so mad at myself now.
I love it. That's so good. Oh, we've got the whole crew here this morning. Bulelo and Pumi and Sia and me and you. So it's all good.
Look, we
that's a bit
might.
Much.
Yeah, that's a lot. That is a lot.
Much. Six in the morning. I just wanted to know.
Yeah, I know.
That's
what we're going for.
Let's see. If it is a Biden administration, then there'll definitely some people who get that down and right in the next 4 years. But, you know, I was, you know, just watching a lot of past interviews, and I want to now know about Dr. Jill Biden as well.
Yeah.
And there is what a lot of people say they want in a leader. They want them to be relatable. Oh, relatability. And I will hold myself to this. Biden, in my opinion, isn't just relatable. He's a little too basic. He just doesn't.
What do you mean?
He doesn't have any sort of flair or slight grandeur or something.
I mean, he's just too,
as a person.
He's just too normal.
Not what he's done. Yeah. Yes, no, too normal, too basic.
Well, that was one of the reasons that Barack Obama chose him as the vice president. First of all, because he could push through some policy stuff, and he was kind of nondescript. But also, I mean, he has made gaffes every single day since he's been alive. He's like the Prince Philip of America.
I watched a particular interview they did together on one of the Jimmys, the late night shows, or Seth Meyers, or the Yard with Seth. And Joe actually was going to talk about something so unbecoming about Dr. Jill. Dr. Jill, in front of everyone, said, "No, Jill, we aren't going to talk about that." And he had like this awkward laugh. I'm like, he doesn't have any decorum. No. He just doesn't know if he's coming or going.
It's going to be so really, because you've got him on one hand with all of that I think is fair comment. And then you've got Kamala Harris, who's like the world's most insincere person ever.
Ever. What do you mean, Garrett?
I love
we
her.
Did it,
Hi,
Joe.
Everybody. I'm here. I'm Kamala Harris.
She is so fake. She's just fake from beginning to end. Can't
You're
going to
be
her.
The next president of Hi, the United
Joe.
States.
Yeah. Oh, that voice. It's like a bicycle chain being smashed against my scrotum. Anyway, got lots to look forward to in the next 4 years. Huh?
Lord, please don't ever review movies. You know, sometimes when movie trailers start, they start with reviews from the New York Times says, and the Washington Post says, Gareth Cliff's review of Kamala Harris is like, her voice sounds like a bicycle hitting my scrotum.
A bicycle chains, yeah. Let's quote it right.
I cannot believe that we're like 10 minutes into the show and already three times somebody has said the word scrotum.
It's a horrible word. Isn't it the most horrible
Stop
word?
It.
So there's lots to talk about today, and we'll leave the politics for the burning platform later on, which I know you're looking forward to as much as I am. But the reason I played Dolly Parton at the start of the show, and Pumi reminded me, I saw the story yesterday, but kind of forgot about it, but she is a real hero. Tell us the story. I mean, she was the one who put like millions of dollars into Moderna's vaccine
trials. Yeah. So she initially gave the money to a university, and they worked with Moderna working on the vaccine. But guys, Dolly Parton, right, has been. She's been mobilizing, but she's always been. So I think here's the thing, though, is Dolly Parton has always been, since the beginning of Dolly Parton's millions, has always been a giver, right? So she gives money to lots of different charities. She is always in it. But I think this year she has been joy. You know, I follow her on Twitter, right?
My goodness.
I am a Dolly Parton fan. I grew up listening to Radio Zulu, and Dolly Parton doesn't know the kind of following she has in KZN because of Radio Zulu.
What a phenomenal person. She's really phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
And in case you haven't had enough in this beginning of this show about Dolly Parton, also coming up on Netflix very soon is her Christmas special. Last year she did one. She's doing another one this year, guys. Dolly Parton, holiday viewing.
I haven't watched it. But tell me what that is. What is her Christmas special?
It's Christmas feel good stories. What's that thing, Sia? It's a little bit like a Touched by an Angel modern type vibe. Mm-hmm. But it's Dolly Parton, guys. She's awesome.
I have no complaints about that. I think that she really is awesome. I'm a big fan. I mean, I know a lot of her music, and I know about Dollywood, and I know about, you know, the collaborations she's made over the years and the songs that she's written. But as a person, I mean, all I can glean is the little bits that I see on social media. And she seems like one of those people who's just good.
She's a star.
She's good.
You know, she's the last of a dying breed of, you know, most 99.9% of the people now have to alter their image through social media, whatever. That's a new skill. She's a genuine star. Like, just her performance makes her transcendent. And that's very rare. You know, you look at everyone around now, they're not performers. They're probably more famous for being famous than being great. She's been transcendently great as a singer for over 60 years. Incredible.
She's 74 years old.
She's incredible.
74 years old.
I mean, there's a great cover of Jolene. I don't know if you've seen it. Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
And Pentatonix or whatever it's called.
Right.
But there's an unbelievable cover, and the pipes are still. She could be 18.
She's
still
so good,
pushing it up.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Wow. So there we go. Dolly Parton back in the news, and still as important as ever. ancestors. The ancestors.
My cause.
They're back. They're back with a vengeance. I'm gonna have to. Pumi, we decided yesterday, or was it the day before? Sia and Bulelo and I decided with these sneezing attacks I get in the morning, it's Amadlo is telling me that I need to twasa. That's what I think.
Really?
Something else.
No, this is exact. It's the sneezing. He won the lotto twice.
Small amounts. Yes. Like 65 rand. But I mean, it's something, you know.
If you listen to the ancestors, you might win bigger amounts.
Okay, mm-hmm. Then I will. How do I do that?
Answer the calling.
What do I need to do?
I think you need to go into the bush or a mountain.
Yeah, answer the calling.
Like
no,
a
you
few
have to
weeks
answer the calling.
For training.
No, that's closer. No. Don't worry about that. Going the wrong direction. Answer the calling, Gareth.
What does it mean? Like picking up the phone?
No, be a sangom.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to go through training, Sangoma training. And so you go, you leave all of your mobile devices and technology, and you live with a Sangoma, and you're taught the way.
A gobela. You live with a gobela. It's called a gobela.
Okay.
And you're taught to channel.
Well, you know,
and remember pre-politics Donald Trump. So The Apprentice, it's basically The Apprentice, but it's headed up by one main Sangoma, and there are a bunch of you are vying for the position.
So, okay, I've got time in December. I may just do this. So, I mean, I wouldn't be the first Sangoma in my family, so let's go and do it.
You're going to come back with Skumbuzo, no shoes.
Mm.
Yeah, with a bag of bones rattling with you up the stairs.
I laughed. On Tuesday, we were at the office, and Jane Malachi, who you know from the show, she's been on a number of times. So Jane and I were teasing Sia, and we said, like, there must have been a point in his life where he could have gone the way that he has gone and been the Sia Sangweni that we know. Or there might have been one moment where he could have been a Skotan.
Absolutely not.
He didn't like that at all.
So, I see it.
I see it too. And he was so offended. Jane says, yeah, sitting on the bonnet of a car, drinking Ultramel straight out of the carton. That's, you know, with those loud shirts and everything.
In yellow shoes.
Yeah, it's Skotan.
In yellow cavellas.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I'm told that the allure with Skotan is all of this stuff is real.
Yeah.
So when they wear a Versace shirt, it's real Versace.
Yes.
When they wear Gucci shoes, they're all real. Then I want to know, where do they get their money?
Because
perhaps I could sign up if there's money.
They're gangsters.
Okay.
Mm-mm. They'll steal from their own moms, those Skotan.
Then I'm not built to be a Skotan, no thank you.
No, I'm very pleased that you made the decisions, your life decisions that got you here, Sia. But it was something that made Jane and I laugh. And Sia immediately took he took great umbrage to the fact that Jane and I were teasing him.
God. You've got the natural flair, Sia, to be Skotan.
Sia, you could have been anything you wanted. You could have been anything you wanted, and you chose not to be a Skotan, which is to your credit.
That's just like saying I could have been a stripper, but here I am now.
You've got the natural flair for that, too.
We could all have been strippers.
Not me.
I don't know. You
Why
know,
not?
I don't know.
Not me.
You sure?
Yeah. I've seen those girls on those poles. It's hard work.
It's hard work.
Also, I don't have the core strength. I just don't.
For me, you would be able to do anything you put your mind to, including being a stripper if you wanted to.
The core strength and also when they make their asses clap.
Yes, I can't do that either. God knows I've tried, you know. I get that mirror out, and then I practice for 3 hours every afternoon. I'm just not getting the clap right. Make their
asses
clap.
Love it.
Can we talk about something?
If the parents' WhatsApp group knew that Kanekho's mother knows what ass clapping means.
All right. That's good shit. So, this is something we haven't discussed on the show, but it requires discussion. And it is.
Oh, dear.
It is something which has bothered me for a long time. There is this trend of face tattoos, which is creeping in, and neck tattoos. Okay, so I'm not opposed to tattoos. Let me be very clear from the outset. I think on a good-looking person, tattoos can enhance them, or it can make it worse depending on what kind of tattoos you get. But I think that there are choices to be made that will improve you, and there are tattoos that will make you much, much uglier and much worse. But a face tattoo and a neck one that comes out of the collar of your shirt, if you want to be a serious person, I think that you are limiting your opportunities to be taken seriously. I know that sounds very conservative and very old school, but I have no problem with tattoos. But when it gets to the face and the neck, you've crossed the line. And I think it's very difficult for you to...
You know, so Mike Tyson has got that tribal...
Yes, on his eye.
Tribal markings... But it's Mike Tyson, right? Mm-hmm. He's Mike Tyson.
Right.
He can do what he wants.
He's
got a pit tiger. Then there is Little Wayne, who has all sorts of things. First, it started out, I mean, I think when we first saw him, he had the tear. And you know about the tear and the gangster significance of all that. Mm. But I saw Little Wayne with Donald Trump. And I was beyond horrified. His entire face. And I'm just like, why, guy? Why have you done this to yourself?
You know,
he's got a face tattooed on his face.
Yeah, you know you can become addicted to tattoos, right?
The pain, the needle.
Yeah.
guys. And I'm just, and also there's that, have you guys seen The Good Place?
No.
Mm-mm.
Oh, you should watch it. Mulelo, you'd love it. But the lead actress on it, who's quite like wholesome looking on the show.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of her on Instagram, and she's also tattooed from everywhere. And so for the show, she would spend hours, 5 hours, getting ready for the show because they had to cover all her tattoos.
Oh no, man, that's ridiculous. That's terrible.
Wow.
I'm just like, really? What are you like gonna do with your life? So Little Wayne rapping, right? But what are you gonna do with your life when you've got like,
it's
stuff.
I'm very torn about this because I think everybody deserves the right to do what they want with their bodies. And if you feel like, you know, making yourself look ridiculous, that's fine too. And I'm not saying all tattoos are ridiculous. Again, you've got to be so careful because people hear what they want to hear. And then so you're against tattoos. No, I'm being very, very careful to point out that I'm not. But a face tattoo, So Alex says.
Yeah.
Alex says, Little Wayne looks bad now. Tattoos do not age well. So, agreeing with you. Mig says, Pumi kind of reminds me of the Wizard of Oz due to being so close to the camera.
Can we just have this conversation?
Yes.
Can we just have this conversation?
Explain.
That I am actually being sabotaged by technology here.
Yes.
For some reason, Webinar Jam that we use to get on this thing have not gotten onto the bus of the fact that most people use some form of device, mobile device, instead of laptops and computers.
Right.
So I work on an iPad Pro. This is the device that I use. I don't have a laptop. Mm-hmm. I don't have a desktop because I live in the future.
Yes.
No, and this is the only screen. This is the only screen that Webinar Jam will give us. So I have placed my laptop as far, my iPad as far away from me as possible. But this is it. Doesn't get better, guys. I wish I could make it better, but I can't.
And I know that the person who stole your laptop a few years ago, they're listening right now. So I'd like you to just reconsider maybe giving her laptop back, Pumi, so that she doesn't have these trials and tribulations every time she's on the show. So if you're listening to us, so this, and you're the one, you know.
This is not me. Yeah. This is not me zooming like an old person.
Yes, exactly. maybe Skotani has got your laptop.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, that's happened.
Probably Skotani out there somewhere is like hanging out with my MacBook Pro.
Let them rest.
And can we also while we're on the issue of face tattoos, it's worth also mentioning these grills that people have, right?
And it's a Skotane thing.
They just, to me, it screams bad breath. I do not know how you adequately clean your mouth if you have grills.
Like a permanent grill.
With mouthwash.
But that's your thing, sorry.
My thing with the tattoo, folks, is that, hey, go ahead, do your thing. But what I hate is people that become victims now and go, oh, don't judge me for it. Like, hey, the corporate world's run by old people. What do you want? So you get the tattoos, that's fine, have them. But the corporate world's run by old people, so don't come and complain. Oh, make it for us. No, no, no. There's nothing more despicable than victims. When you get the tattoos, understand you choose a path. And aesthetics matter. Mm-hmm. Still, the people that run this world are between 55 and 65. Don't come and complain. They are rigid. They're stuck in their way. So get your tattoos.
I think a little bit older than 65. I think a little bit older than 65. It is the president's birthday this week.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So how old is Silili now?
We actually don't quite know, because if according to the flyer that the ANC put out, he's 68. If it's if you go with the flyer that the presidency put out, he's 67. So we're not sure.
Oh my God! You see, the ANC can't even tell the truth about their president's age.
No, it's because Jacob Zuma got the tender to do the graphic design.
Yeah.
So 67.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. He might be 68. He might be 67.
Yeah. Shim. Well,
no, guys. President JG was busy this week.
Graham says Pumi's going to like this. This president couldn't run a bath. Alex says, I want grills. I want grills. I'm going for a fitting soon. Elias says, give DJ Fresh another year and he will look like Lil Wayne.
he's just gotten like a whole sleeve as well.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, the grills as well, right? Because it's like, we used to feel that way about gold teeth. And I think grills are just like gold teeth on steroids.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're... All the stuff. And just like, imagine what that is, right? Imagine, there's so many things about it. Like kissing a person with grills. Do you think like your lip gets caught in the...
Gold tooth, you just triggered me so badly there.
Mr. Schmangles says that Lil Wayne looks like someone smacked him with a wet newspaper. Face tattoos is a big no-no.
That's good.
That's a good one.
JP says,
and apparently,
apparently,
like the Skotanes have gotten into the mouth grill too, right? Because when we first saw the grills, it was those southern rappers like Nelly and those guys, right? And I can understand how those guys can like get into mouth grills. I mean, really, they drank codeine with soda, so there's something happening. Yeah, that was their big thing, right? But now, like, Skotanes are into it. There's a guy in downtown Joburg that does it. And it's just like people come in there, fit their grills. And I am, again, it's always the cost of these things for me.
Yeah.
It's always the cost of these things. It's like, it starts from like 2,000 rand a pop.
Yeah.
Just like, what?
Mm-hmm.
You're paying so much money to, like, what?
And then Bahlale back room. They live in the back room of their grandmother's cottage in Soweto.
JP says,
like walking around with 30 grand worth of
cash And then
mouth jewelry.
Yeah, yeah, no. Oh, you mean the jewelry? I mean, they also have cash in the pocket. They always, they've got like money in case a stripper comes down the road. They can like, you know.
Oh, who is now being disparaging to strippers?
I've never been disparaging to strippers. I think that that money is hard earned. See, we know you have a problem with strippers. See, it's very judgmental of strippers. Very.
I have nothing to say on this topic. I have nothing to say.
When he isn't fantasizing about being squat tan, then he's thinking about strippers and how terrible they are. All right, so JP says, I've got 3 tattoos. I'm doing number 4 and 5 in February, but my face and neck is a big no-no. Same as chest tattoos on a girl.
Oh. Chest tattoos on a girl.
Oh.
Mm. Mm. We're very, I can count now we sound judging. Hand. Yeah.
Now, I can count on one hand the number of chest tattoos that still look good years later. Like, remember the rapper Eve?
Yes.
She has, like, 4 prints on her breast. Eve still looks good. So, you know, at least she works. So, some other
What's
people...
What's happening with those claws?
That little rose will look like a river. A red river or something after some years.
Cabello says, bands make a dance. Bands make a dance.
Bands will make
song?
A dance.
That's
indeed.
Right. That's exactly right. Graham says, it's all such msunari, I tell you. And then Rickus says, the president's 67, he reckons. Treshka says, tattoos might be okay when you're young, but we all age. The worst for me is an older woman with tattoos.
Mm. Yeah, no, I haven't even started thinking about wrinkled skin with tattoos. Like, I haven't seen, I actually haven't seen like a real proper granny with a tattoo. I've never seen that.
Oh, they're coming. They're coming because the people who got these tattoos 20, 30 years ago, they're getting to that age now. They're going to be a granny with a with a face tattoo soon. How's that going to age? I wonder. All right, do you feel like some headlines?
Yeah, bro.
Oh, always.
Good.
All right, let's see what's going on. A lot of corruption is what Becky Taylor says. A lot of corruption. He says that is why the South African police has a forensic case backlog of over 117,000 cases. Yo, but you are running a serious shit show when you have 117,738 cases of corruption in the police. Forensic case backlog. Do me a favor. Aibo. Mm. So he was asked by DA MP Andrew Whitfield what the total backlog is, and Kele said his SAPS head office had a backlog of 72,000, the Western Cape 39,000, KwaZulu-Natal 3,000, and Eastern Cape 2,667. You knew last year that already a significant backlog in DNA case exhibits was developing at your forensic laboratories, denying thousands of people the justice they deserve. One wonders how many cases could have been prosecuted if DNA analysis was not delayed or bungled by your department. Sia, I don't know if you were there. I think it was before your time, but we went on a tour of the police forensic laboratory in Pretoria, and it's a first-class, it's a great facility. Everything is there that is needed, but it is not staffed adequately, and I don't think that they get the money that they need to be able to do what they have to do. And when when Becky Taylor was asked, Minister, it is not yet clear whether it is incompetence or corruption. He said it was due to corruption. So, I mean, this is just amazing.
Also not incompetence.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot more incompetence than that. Well, I think that is.
Well, the head, you know who the head of laboratories is, right? General Patlane. Who's obviously...
Oh, really?
Is it?
Yeah,
is everyone a general now?
Everyone's general.
General. What is this term? Just...
Yes.
What do you need to do? Just have a coffee with Cyril Ramaphosa and you're a general.
Yes, and remember, it was Becky Taylor who wanted military titles in the police. So this is his baby.
Yes.
This is his baby. So General Patlane, who's the guy who's having court issues for some time now, it's led to a national commissioner firing him. but there are other issues going on. So this is Becky Taylor trying to make excuses for, you know, he's the one who's telling us don't drink and don't do this and lockdown rules, and they're arresting people left, right, and center for breaking stupid, stupid Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma rules. But he can't even run his department. Come on. Come on, man.
They're very, like, overzealous about the idea of shutting down taverns.
Mm. That's his thing.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, exactly. There's a backlog.
And at least those
people must deal with the.
At least those people who run the taverns know what they're doing, Becky Taylor. You don't. Clean your own house before you point at your neighbors and tell them to clean their house.
We aren't asking for a lot here.
No, really, we're not. Deputy Chief Justice Raymond Zondo has again delayed his decision on whether he will remain as chairperson of the state capture inquiry. He has postponed his recusal decision to today. I know, Pumi, you've been watching the Zondo Commission closer than any of us. So do you have any comments on this? Do you think that there is a reason for him to recuse himself? Do you think Jacob Zuma's lawyer, Sika Kane, made a good point the other day, or do you think it's all politics?
I think it's all politics. And unfortunately, I think Jacob Zuma has played his card now, and he doesn't get any sympathies from anyone anymore. And for years and years and years, the man has said he wants to stay in court to tell him, this isn't even a court. This is not even a court. It's just an inquiry.
Exactly.
Just come and tell us what you know, dude. Tell us what you know or not. And I think, so I was watching, of course I was watching on Monday, which... Guys, I think it's still on YouTube, so you can always go back and watch it.
Mm.
A masterclass on what our system looks like when it is being engaged by people of competence, right? So we may not agree with Skatane or the points he makes, but the way in which he makes his points, the eloquence with which he can describe, take something which is convoluted and complex and frame it in such a way that even for the layman such as myself, you can see why a person would reason in this particular way. And then, I mean, I think in the response, in Pretorius's response as well, the way in which he laid out his response and the view. And I think what a lot of people don't perhaps appreciate is the fact that by the time they get there to make their presentations, they have submitted their entire argument in written form to the other party. So in order to be able to prepare a response for Pretorius and the team, they needed to have Skakane's affidavit and all laid out. Mm-hmm. And that's why they always, they each have the documents and they each can refer to each other's documents. And the amount of work that goes into it, the amount of work and reading and research.
Have you seen those files?
Citing old papers.
Have you seen those files that these advocates carry around? Yes, sus.
The bundle.
And they've got tabs in them, and they've got color coding, and they can flip to page 526 in an instant. And they refer to line 12 on page 6310, and it's all there. It's a lot of work, as you say, huge amount of work.
It's a lot of work. And what we were able to watch on Monday is really pure legal competence par excellence.
Yeah, like, that Musa Sika Kane is working for someone who's just indefensible, because that's his problem, obviously.
But I think, for me, the bigger part of it, and I think even with last week, a lot of us, we forget that the law is there to protect the weakest, but also the worst of us.
Yes.
The weakest and the worst.
Yeah.
Equally. And that's the thing that for me was just, it really was.
Well,
beautiful to watch.
We can get back to the Zondo Commission a bit later on in the burning platform, but there's another story which seems more and more interesting by the day. The Hawks on Wednesday confirmed that the North Gauteng High Court had issued two more warrants of arrest for the fugitives, Shepherd Bushiri and his wife, Mary. Yes. The Malawian national who got rich through contributions to his Enlightened Christian Gathering Church. That's what they call it. Fled South Africa last week and handed himself over to the police in Malawi yesterday after a manhunt on Tuesday night. So he's handed himself over and he's pleaded. He says, I've done nothing wrong. You can't revoke my permit. So what do you think's going on there? I mean, for Malawi, this wasn't nearly as embarrassing as it was for our, you know, authorities, because our authorities just let him slip through.
No, I think it was embarrassing for them. If you see some of the headlines in the Malawian newspapers, because to know that their president was part of like the smuggling operation, smuggling a known fugitive operation, is an embarrassing thing. And then to be the spokesperson, oh, Gosiam, his name is Gospel.
Yes, he's the minister.
I don't know the poetic justice of it.
Minister of Information, yeah.
The intelligence person, Gospel. I like it. No, I love that.
There was a very funny interview which I put on my Instagram. The newsreader on Newsroom Africa says, so tell us, how is it that the Malawian authorities let Shepherd Bushiri back in? He goes, no. Very serious tone. He goes, no. The question is, how did you let him go? I thought that was fantastic.
Like, you know, I've just seen that clip. I don't even care to watch the rest of the interview because I'm like, well, he asked a very good question.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's just like, they're like, so how does the president feel? How does it? And he's like, hey, this is a matter of law. Mm. There is no place for feelings here.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Correct. And then this is interesting. I mean, it's probably not as interesting to everyone as it is to me, but Bahrain's foreign minister called for fresh Israeli-Palestinian peace talks during a landmark meeting on Wednesday in Israel with the U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Donald Trump's top diplomat, that's Pompeo, is on a farewell visit to close ally Israel. He did not address Israel's dispute with the Palestinians who have protested his planned trip to a Jewish-owned business in the occupied West Bank. So it continues to be fractious, but Bahrain are now, you know, coming in as a reasonable adult in the conversation, saying there are ways we can broker these talks properly. We shall see. We shall see. Apple have got to pay $113 million to settle the iPhone, what they call battery gate. So 33 U.S. states claimed that Apple had done this to the batteries to drive users into buying new devices. Millions of people were affected when the models of iPhone 6 and 7 and the SE were slowed down in 2016 in a scandal that has been dubbed Battery Gate. They declined to comment. However, they have previously said the phones were slowed to preserve aging battery life. The deal is separate from a proposed settlement Apple reached in March due to having to pay affected iPhone users up to $500 million in a class action lawsuit. In 2016, Apple updated software on models of the iPhone 6, 7, and SE, which throttled chip speeds on aging phones. Crooked. Crooked.
Crooked Apple.
Crooked Apple. Not good. All right, so those are the headlines this morning. I don't know. Those are some of the things you need to know.
Because of that, right? So these new upgrades, and they've had a couple of new upgrades in the past couple of weeks.
Yes, you know what we've got? We've got new emojis, Pumi. We've got some. No, we've got new emojis. You must have a look. There's a beaver, and there's a transgender flag, and there's a there's.
Oh dear! There's a beaver.
Oh yeah, there's a beaver. I know, you got to go and have a look. You know what that's going to be used for.
Like the plunder.
Yeah, you know that's not going to be used for animal. Not at all. Oh, man.
Let's not take this any further than it needs to go, please.
All right. Do you want to win? Because our friends at Lottoland have reminded me to remind you that if you place a bet on the Christmas lottery on Lotto Land, you have a 1 out of 7 chance of winning a cash prize of some kind, because they up the number of prizes. They need to get rid of that money by Christmas. Perhaps you are the lucky one that wins the first prize worth 4 billion euro. Oh, yes. Don't miss out on the biggest lottery in the world. That is the Christmas lottery. It takes place on the 22nd of December. You can place your bets now on lottoland.co.za. Lottoland South Africa is a licensed bookmaker with Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. No persons under the age of 18 are permitted to gamble. Winners know when to stop. National Responsible Gambling toll-free counseling line is 0800 006 008. Six ma bona seven treva. See, I'm also a Squatani deep down inside.
Go right ahead. Let me not stop you. This could really be your next chapter. Me, on the other hand, no. There are certain things I can just imagine. My mother, my grandmother, and the line of judgmental ancestors in my life just shaking their heads going, what is he doing now? Why? No. That's what they'd do if I was this Squatani.
Paul said, I heard extradition takes 5 to 10 years for the Bushiris. No, I think it depends really on how much the government want to comply with each other and what the relationship between those two governments are. And McGill says, hey, Gareth, are you sure you're okay? You look fluish. Do I look fluish? Oh. See, this is what I hate about having cameras on me. It's like now fucking Dr. McGill over there thinks he's can diagnose me across the internet. You know what? Come over here and give me a rectal thermometer temperature check. Why don't you, McGill?
Hi, man. Hi, man. You know,
that is the worst thing. That's one of the worst things to say to a person, because you never know how to respond or to recover from it. It's just like when someone says, wow, you look tired. It's like,
what do you say?
Me looking tired? Oh, I thought I looked pretty decent today, but thanks for crushing me. Like, Miguel, come on.
So Woody says, Bulelo can tattoo his head. When people ask him why, he can reply because he's always looking, even when he falls flat on his back. Tattoo like an eye on your head. I think that's a third eye.
I see what he's saying.
Stupid idea.
I have a big head, so
can you still be a Squatani if you have shit your pants? Says JP. Ah, see ya. Never gonna get away from that.
You're not gonna live this one down.
Ruthless.
All right. Okay, JP.
Yesterday we had Michael Flax on the show, and people loved that. We try to get. Someone from our usual cast and crew onto the show. At least Markle Flax. You love him. He's Mbulelo's favorite person.
Oh, I like that guy. I like him, and he's just great to have around. It's great.
Okay, well, it's time for us to check in with another person who's a regular with us on a Thursday, and that is Sean Saunders. Dude, we've got to start off. Bitcoin has had a hell of a week.
Oh, yes, it has. $17,800 hitting a new 38-month high of $18,000. It's insane. I mean, this last period has just been – it's everything we've been waiting for in the crypto space.
It just seems
to have happened in the space of a month.
I saw it cross 18,000 yesterday, and I thought back to those amazing days when it was like over 20, and this is about the closest we've been since then. In fact, it is the closest we've been. So a good week to talk about crypto, a good week to talk about the products that you have at Revix. So give us the down low. What do you think is happening? Why has crypto been doing so well?
So this bull run is very different to the last. That's not to say that it's not speculative. I mean, crypto is a speculative investment class. You're going to see the asset class move up and down. But what you're seeing is a lot of big institutions into the space. So more recently, you had Square, you had MicroStrategy, you had hedge fund investor Paul Tudor Jones. You even had Stanley Druckenmiller, which managed George Soros' money for 10 years, come out and say that they're interested in the space and they're interested in Bitcoin, and they actually think it is going to act as a store of value, very similar to gold. And this now has really shifted the narrative, because all of a sudden, you know, it's really hard to enter an asset class for the first time, especially crypto, right? Remember a few years ago, I mean, probably for most of the people listening to this, crypto is still that sort of fringe asset class, which people don't understand and they're hesitant to get involved with. And now you've got these big players entering the space, They're making big moves. They're buying billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin. And all of a sudden, it's a case of, oh, okay, well, let's not get left behind. And now you've got fund managers running into the space. So you've seen big money move in, and you've seen it move in really quickly. And that's pushed up the price of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies.
So the most important question then for anybody who is maybe taking things a bit more seriously because of these developments, is it too late to invest? Because you don't want to invest when things are too expensive, but there could be a reason to get in now because it could get even more valuable.
Exactly. So, I mean, again, this can't be financial advice. Like, any advice that's given on this show is my personal opinion. But if you look back, and I mean, Gareth, when did we start doing these shows? It must have been about 18-odd months ago, first show.
Yeah.
And I think one of the first questions that were asked back then when Bitcoin was sitting at that point must have been around 11,000 or 12,000. You know, have we missed the boat? Are we too high? Is this, you know, not an opportunity to invest anymore? And I'll say exactly the same thing now. You're going to look at a long-term price trend over a 10 or 15-year period, and this is going to be just a little bit on that entire price chart. And I think that's really the investment opportunity here. Remember, Bitcoin as an investment category, or as a single investment category, is only 3%. It's actually less than 3% of all of gold's value. So the fact that it's increased by 140% this year, and other cryptocurrencies like Chainlink or Polkadot, they've increased by 600%. I mean, Ethereum's up over about 350% this year. They're all in our top 10 bundle, and in other two bundles as well. The fact that these other cryptocurrencies have performed so well, you can't look at the percentage return. You actually have to look at the overall investment objective here. And the investment objective is to say, okay, well, if Bitcoin is going to be competing with gold, then, well, this could easily double. It could easily go more than that. And that's the return opportunity with crypto over a 5 or 10 year horizon. You're not looking at a 20% or 100% return. You really are looking at a 5x or 10x return. And that's the exciting thing about this space.
Yeah, I think many people are starting to look at ways to improve their investments that do not fall into the traditional categories. But that's a lot harder than some people think, because if you're uneducated, you can also make some very bad decisions. And that's where it's nice to have Revix, because you guys do all the hard computing for us. We can buy that top 10 bundle, and you know, you're buying some of the best weighted asset classes in cryptocurrency. I think just explain to everybody how you guys choose where to put that money.
Yeah, so what we do is we actually don't choose. We let the market choose for us. So just like the Satrix Top 40 or the S&P 500, what we do is we say, okay, let's look at the 10 largest cryptocurrencies that exist out there. Mm. Great. Now we've got a snapshot of those. Then every single month, we'll relook at the market and essentially rebalance your bundle. So what this means is if you buy into our top 10 bundle, you'll equally own the top 10 cryptocurrencies. And over the course of the month, one cryptocurrency may outperform another. And at the end of the month, if another cryptocurrency increases in value into the top 10, we'll automatically rebalance your bundle, include that cryptocurrency into the top 10, and remove a cryptocurrency that's declined in value. And what this means is that you stay up to date with this fast evolving market. So as an example, recently you had Polkadot enter the top 10, and you had Bitcoin Cash, SV, get removed from the top 10. And what this meant is that we rebalanced for you. So you weren't exposed to the cryptocurrency that was declining in value, and you got exposure to the one that was increasing in value. Now, Polkadot's up 600% this year, and you would have benefited from the vast majority of that return, which is, you know, it's for us, it's the same reason why so many people go and buy the S&P 500 rather than going to buy just Nasdaqs on the JSE. It's a diversified approach to crypto investing. And we're saying, well, over the long term, you really don't know what's going to happen in this space. So have the humility to at least know that diversification is your friend. Spread your risk across the market and look at the long term, not the short term.
All right. Going into December, what usually happens in the markets? Is there a trend yet for what you guys do, gold, crypto, over December? Because obviously people's behavior changes. Are there changes every year to the market this time of year?
So in the past, because the market was so retail driven, a lot of individuals got their year-end bonuses and that money went almost straight into crypto. So December's been a very good year for Bitcoin and crypto in general.
Month.
Now, again, not financial advice, but my personal opinion is if you look at gold, and we offer Pax Gold on our platform.
Yes.
I mean, gold's been pretty lethargic over the last while. It really hasn't done all that much. It's actually pulled back a little bit.
Correct.
And I mean, Goldman Sachs is adamant that you're seeing $3,000 gold next year, and it's currently sitting at $1,808. So there's a good investment case there. Whether or not, I mean, that's a December. I mean, this is a unique year, right? So whether things happen in December or January, I mean, who knows, right? Mm. I think if you're looking out over the long term with all the money printing that's taken place, I think these anti-inflationary assets, these hard assets, if you want to call them that, and I'm including Bitcoin and the other cryptocurrencies in this, they have a very good investment case.
Well, Sean, always good to hear from you. In a market we've never seen before, don't guess, diversify. Revex allows you to effortlessly own a diversified portfolio of the world's top cryptocurrencies, which automatically stays up to date with the ever-changing market. You can follow them on social media at Revex Invest. That's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. At Revex Invest, one word. And you can sign up for free. Today, you can go in, you verify your ID, you add funds, you select the bundle of your choice, and they do the heavy lifting in terms of balancing those portfolios. And for more info, you can always head over to revex.com. It's the smart way to invest in crypto. Thank you, Sean.
Thanks, guys. Good. Have a pretty good day. Awesome, catch you later.
You too. Very good. And before you go, Sean, apparently someone says you look like Adam Levine from Maroon 5 this morning. So there's something.
Oh, yeah. New haircuts, you know.
All right. Very good.
Brilliant, guys. Thank you so much. Have a good rest of the day.
All right. Very good. So now we've covered a lot of bases in this first hour of the show. We've covered Dolly Parton, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We've covered Squatani. We've covered my
scrotums.
Scrota is the plural.
Is that the plural?
Yes, it is. Pumi's favorite word.
Oh.
Yes, wow. We've talked about it all. There's no stone has been left unturned in this first hour of the show this morning.
Yeah. In fact, in this case, it's two stones that have been left unturned.
That's correct. Stony.
I just love that I finally found what makes this for me cringe. Like, usually you can handle a lot, but there's something about the word scrotum. Okay.
It's just way too early in the morning.
Yes.
Way too early in the morning.
I prefer my scrotums.
The way Pumi watches the Zondo Commission is like the way colored people watch Sievendalan. That's from Andrea, who is colored, and she says that culture boggles her mind. But she's saying, the way Pumi watches that Zondo Commission. Yes, that's
the way colored people watch Sievendalan.
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what? I think everything was taken a little too far this week when I saw some people analyzing even the watch former President Zuma was wearing and how much they estimate to be worth. I'm like, this is now becoming the fashion police. There's so much pomp and ceremony with this. I think we're losing our priorities here.
See, we didn't have priorities when Zuma was president.
With?
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, come on. What are you talking about?
I think in the early days of the commission.
Yeah.
You were the only one
watching at that stage. Pumi was the only person watching the Zondo Commission then. I think we lost Pumi.
All right. Yeah, I think we lost her.
The Zondo Commission, finally, they got her. All right. Well, when we come back, we are going to get stuck into the burning platform. And that is obviously brought to you by Nando's. It's going to be another great morning. We've actually got Hanman Pretorius in. He's the deputy head of policy research at the IRR. And the reason we've got him in is because he's just written an interesting article called Selling Out South Africa in a Grubby Little Stitch Up. And it's a really good article. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about all the things that are going on in the news that we need to discuss, from politics to the economy to the Zondo Commission and many more. And if you'd like to be a part of that, all you have to do is message us on 079-748-2090. CliffCentral.com.